This is the West Concord Sermon Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you receive a blessing from today's message.
Well, here we are in the between Christmas and New Year's. So lots going on even still. You're taking presents back. Maybe you've gone to the Christmas sales and bought more things you didn't need. Or maybe you're making New Year's resolutions. Oh boy. New Year's resolutions. Are you making New Year's resolutions? Have you begun to do that? Everybody does, or most people do, or some people won't say whether they do. But New Year's resolutions are basically difficult. They usually go in one ear and out the other. Okay, I thought that was lame when I wrote it too. Okay, I get it. But I'll make your New Year's resolutions a little easier on you. You know, instead of resolving to do that, how about resolve to eat more? Okay, that's an easy one. Or resolve not to go to the gym. You know, write that down. I resolve not to go to the gym. I resolve not to exercise. You know, you can make all those things, New Year's resolutions. Either way, they come and they go. And the only people that benefit from New Year's resolutions are Jenny Craig and Planet Fitness. Okay, and that doesn't last very long for them either. So this morning, rather than make New Year's resolutions or encourage you to do that, maybe instead of resolving to do something, how about we just do it? How about just do it? Instead of taking the time and writing out a list and sharing it with friends and, oh, I resolve to do X, Y, and Z. If you're smart, you make New Year's resolutions. Now, if you want to be held accountable, you can let people know. But more often than not, rather than just sit there and spend all that time doing that, just decide what you're going to do and just do it. Just do it. It's that simple. Take your Bibles and join me in Psalm 23 this morning. Psalm 23. Again, we're coming up on New Year's Thursday, New Year's Day, and that's basically a human construct because January 1st is just another day. It's another Thursday. And yes, the seasons change and things are different. And I guess you can say New Year's celebrations or resolutions are like a restart button. You know, you can hit it and it's good on video games. I don't know how well it works with life. Because here's the thing, you and I aren't guaranteed anything from God but heaven and His presence. Lord willing, we'll all have a new year to live through, healthy and happy and strong. And maybe some of us need to make resolutions to do some things better. But the reality is we just need to decide to do it. And so what I want to encourage you this morning, as you look at your life, as you make these decisions, as you think over 2025, and as you consider the possibility of 2026, and you're saying, I need to change this, I need to start that, I need to stop this, I need to do that. All good things. But maybe there's one thing you and I need to do that I think sometimes we forget to do. And it needs to be on a daily basis. And the best resolution, if you want to call it that, or the best decision for a believer, and this can be New Year's Day, I'll tell you, it should be today. And that is to decide that you're going to surrender as a believer to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And to make it even more simple, surrender to Christ as your shepherd. Give Him this new year. If He chooses to give it to you, give it back to Him and say, Lord, I am going to let You shepherd me through this new year. I'm going to follow You as You lead me. This is why I prayed and decided to go through Psalm 23. Usually, when you do Psalm 23, it's at the major situations in life. Some people have it read at their weddings, but more often than not, I read it at most memorials and funerals that I do. Because Psalm 23 speaks of life and navigating in life. And generally when I'm doing a funeral or a memorial or something like that, I'm encouraging the family to let God shepherd them through the various emotions that they are feeling at that moment. To guide them through it, to get them through it. And that's good for that moment, But we forget that this psalm and Christ as our shepherd should be good for every day. Because here's the reality, you're going to let something or someone shepherd you. More often than not, we let culture shepherd us, don't we? Whatever's in, whatever's popular, you know, we follow along. It's kind of the herd instinct. We follow the animal in front of us. We go where they go. And sometimes politically, we're shepherded by a political party. We're shepherded by a politician. And we follow them sometimes blindly, maybe even foolishly. We're shepherded by our own feelings. We feel disappointed, disgusted, delightful, whatever feeling we're feeling. We let that feeling, that emotion lead us and shepherd us through the day. Something is going to shepherd us. Something is going to shepherd you. Whether you know it or not, whether you mean to or not, you and I are going to yield to someone or something. Why not yield to someone who has our best interests at heart and has the power and ability to shepherd us properly? And of course, we're talking about surrendering to the shepherd office of Jesus Christ. Trusting Him as our Savior is salvation. But after we're saved, salvation is just not that one second, one moment thing. We are now saved. Now we need guidance and direction. And that's what He provides. He's given us His Holy Spirit, the Comforter who comes alongside us. But now we want to yield to Him to shepherd us through each day, sometimes each hour, and yes, sometimes each minute. And so as we come up with a new year and as we're beginning to contemplate the possibility of a new year, then we need to ask ourselves, what or who are we going to let shepherd us? Let's read this passage, Psalm 23. You're familiar with it. Chances are you might even have it memorized. I don't know. But by David, he wrote it under the inspiration of God, and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. We've heard that 100 times, but is that true of your life when you say it? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We roll over that line as we read through it quickly, but what literally that means is, I will not lack. When we follow the shepherd of our souls, Jesus Christ, we will not lack anything that we need or that God wants for us. I mean, you may look at your life, you may think about your life and say, boy, if this happened, I would be good. Or man, if I had that, we're all guilty of that. Materialism, hopes, pipe dreams, promises. If I can just get this, if I can just be that, I'd have everything. But the reality is, if God through Christ is our shepherd and we follow Him, we shall not live in want or lack. Now, that's a real theological truth. It's difficult to apply to living, and that's where we're at today, where we got to focus on. We have to focus on that. But the Lord is our shepherd. If we surrender and follow Him and let Him lead us through life, then we will not lack what we need. Now, we may not have everything we want, but the reality is some things we want aren't good for us, and some things, other things we want, we really don't need. So the Lord is my shepherd. My brother and sister in Christ, can you say that? Can we say that with authority and with strength? The Lord is my shepherd. And if that's the case, David says, I shall not lack, I shall not want. Speaks of contentment, fulfillment. And it's interesting in this psalm that David basically lays out life completely. I never thought of that until I began to study this for this message today. I appreciate how God's Word is constantly revealing new things, new thoughts, new understandings to us as we dig into it deeper. But if you read over Psalm 23, it literally speaks of our entire life experience, our existence as we render our lives to Him and yield our lives to Him. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. The Lord is my shepherd. Would that be your New Year's declaration? How about the new day declaration today, tomorrow? The Lord is my shepherd. Based on my surrender to Him, I shall not want. Let's look at these promises as we follow the shepherd in life. Number one, He becomes, as shepherd, our guide. I mean, you can all picture shepherds and sheep in your mind. And you get the idea of the shepherd walking around in his dad's bathrobe. No, that's how we see him. But he's walking, because there are shepherds today. They don't wear bathrobes, okay? We have shepherds and sheep in the United States. All over. I've seen them. Vast fields of sheep and shepherds out there. And shepherds learn the sheep learn the shepherd's voice, and they literally follow him when he leads them, or she leads them. And the shepherd and the sheep are doing their thing, and that's kind of the main picture as guide. Look what he says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How shall I not want? How shall I not lack? Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. The green pastures literally speak of the plentiness of grass and sustenance. Green, peaceful pastures, pastures of tender grass, whereupon we can feed, and He gives us enough. He leads me beside the still waters, waters of calmness and pleasantness. It says, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He is our guide. And it is God who created us, God who made us and the world around us. And as we yield to Him as shepherd, He wants to be our guide in life. And as our guide, a shepherd who loves his or her sheep is going to lead that sheep through things that are good for them. What kind of shepherd would lead their sheep into poisonous vegetation or poisonous brackish water? The shepherd cares about their sheep. They're going to lead them to things that nourish them and sustain them and cause them to flourish. As our guide, as we yield to God and walk with Him and follow Him as our shepherd, He's going to lead us to things that sustain us, that nourish us, that refresh us. Our guide will, for instance, he's about provision and peace. He leads us to those green grasses for sheep that are very nutritious and good and sweet. He wants to lead us into things like that. He also wants to provide peace, leading us beside the still water. Sheep are more apt to drink from a still pond than they are a rushing, running brook. Provision and peace, that's what the Good Shepherd wants to provide for us. Not only that, but refreshment and restoration. The grass, the still, wonderful, sweet water provides that refreshment. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. Let me ask you, how did 2025, how has it left you? Been a little rough? Have you had some difficulty? Many of us have. Some of us have had physical and medical issues. Some have had relational issues, family issues. Man, work issues, school, you name it. Life is tough. And it can take it out of you. Have you ever just sat down and think, man, I can't do it anymore? You're not just physically tired, you're emotionally tired, and yes, even spiritually tired. Wrung out, worn out. Or in the South, if you want to get serious, we say we're slap worn out. All right, we are done. But as we follow the shepherd, let Him provide, let Him give us peace. He refreshes us and He restores our soul. He restores our soul. Not only that, but He also provides, as He moves us through life, He also provides rightness and reason. Look what it says. He says, He leads me in paths of righteousness. You can even translate that as rightness. He'll take us the way we're supposed to go and help us to do what is right and what is acceptable to Him for His name's sake. That's the reason. That's why we're here. God created humanity to glorify Himself, to bring Him praise, so that others will see Him and seek Him. And as we yield to Him, And as we follow His instructions, as we follow the leanings of His Spirit, as we move in the direction He wants us to go, He takes us in the right way we are to go. We oftentimes get headstrong. We're going to do it our way. We're going to make our decisions. We're going to have our, you know, no. We need to go to God and yield to Him first. The book of Proverbs says, man plans and plots his steps, but God orders them. And sometimes we struggle in life because God is trying to lead us one way and we want to go the other. But God wants to take us through life in that right way. Do we pray about our decisions? Do we seek God's face, the Word of God, for our decisions? I had a dear elderly lady 100 years ago, and I've shared this with you before, teach me a wonderful prayer, and I pray it when I can and when I need to. And as I'm facing decisions or directions, I oftentimes say, Lord, open the doors you want me to go through and close the doors you don't want me to go through. You know, that is a scary prayer to pray, because there are times I've wanted to go in a certain direction and God said no, and I could hear almost in my mind the door not just being closed, but slammed. And disappointment and upset, but then I realize God did the right thing. I dodged a bullet, as we say. But we need to go to God and seek His face. And the reason we do this, the reason He does this, is to bring glory for His name. Not that God needs glory, not that God has to be glorified, so that we can point others to Him. Because the reason we're here in the first place, at the end of the day, is to glorify God so that others might see God in us and they're drawn to Him as well. So God, as Good Shepherd, is our guide. You know, we don't need to let culture be our guide, because I don't know about you, but culture changes every 6 months. Fads come and go. Celebrities are up and down. Everything changes. It's like a roller coaster. When I was young, I liked them, but now I don't. Roller coasters can make you sick. I'd rather things just be cruising along, man, in good shape. He is our guide. Not only is our guide, but He is, during this life, He is our comforter. The Holy Spirit in John 16 is called our comforter. God comes to dwell in the believer, called alongside. The Greek word is paraclete. It's a compound word in the Greek, parakaleo. It means called alongside to comfort us, to guide us, to lead us. God becomes, as shepherd, our comforter as we yield to Him. And look at the passage. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You know, life is hard. And who knows whether they're going to be here today or not tomorrow. And all of us have lost loved ones. All of us have seen friends and family who have gone on before us. We literally live in the shadow of death. And the reality is, we're not meant to be on this planet forever. As is said, we are one heartbeat away from eternity. God forbid anything happens, but you never know. And just because somebody gets very old and very long in the tooth, we expect them to go often. But when somebody young is taken, it's tragic, and it is tragic. It's difficult. But the reality is, we have no guarantee of a tomorrow. Let's take up an offering and go home. I'm glad to have encouraged you. Okay, no. But the reality is, we're not guaranteed a new year. We live in the shadow of death. And here's the thing, as believers in Christ, be thankful that that's all that touches us, is the shadow of death. Because biblically speaking, death is separation from God. Just like death of the body is separation from the body and the spirit, when we die spiritually, we're separated from God. And even though as believers we die physically, we'll always be with God forever, Christ forever in heaven. So death just touches us as a shadow, but it's still difficult, it's still scary. Life is that way. We go through life and it's difficult. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, look at the psalmist. David said, I will fear no evil. I will not fear anything bad. Why? For you are with me. As you walk with the shepherd, here's the thing, by the way, believer. When you receive Christ as Savior, God fills you with His Spirit. He comes and takes residence. He will never leave you. You cannot lose your salvation once you're genuinely saved. He will leave you. But here's the reality. While that relationship is eternal, that fellowship with Him, that sense of His presence in your life can be lost. Oh, you'll still be saved, but you won't be experiencing the wonders of that salvation as you turn and as I turn my back upon Him in my own selfishness. He said, "You are with me." As we yield to Him and He leads us, we don't have to be afraid of what's coming, because at the end of the day, what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even though I'm touched with the shadow of death, I don't need to be afraid. Why? Because you are with me. And as I was getting ready to say, He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Back in biblical days, I'm not sure how it's done now, but shepherds often had two implements. They had a rod, which is basically a long stick that was curved at the end like a candy cane. And that was used for grabbing sheep that got wayward. You know, you're going along, you're cruising along in the valley, and all of a sudden, Herman, that misbehaving sheep, he gets away from the herd, and the shepherd has to take his hook on his rod and pull him on back into the herd. Sometimes God has to do that. We get a little wayward, we get a little off. Sometimes He has to get us. And then as he's going along, he has another implement, his staff, which is a long stick without a crook at the end. And then there's that sheep, Henrietta. She's over there, and she's not where she's supposed to be. And you take the hook and you pull her back, but she keeps going. So sometimes he has to take the rod and go whackety whack and get her back in. Correction. So what does he do? How does he comfort us in this life as we go through? Well, he provides protection. Even though we're touched with the shadow of death, he says, you don't have to fear anything because you're saved and you're safe. I am your God. I am your shepherd. I'll carry you. But yeah, the staff is there for correction. And sometimes God has to correct us. Just like a loving parent corrects his or her child, we have to be corrected. We're God's children. He is our Father. And sometimes we misbehave. Sometimes we get out of line. And God has to take the staff and say, wait a minute, come back. The book of Hebrews tells us that whom the Lord loves, He chastens or disciplines and scourges every son that believes and daughter. Yeah, sometimes God does bring things in our lives that because we've slipped away and started looking to ourselves, yeah, He's got to kind of get our attention. Just like a parent sometimes has to get their child's attention. He provides protection as our comforter. He provides correction because we want to do the right thing, hopefully. And then He provides redirection. That's what that little crooked staff is for with the hook. You're going the wrong way. Come here. And He pulls it aside. That sheep gets him back in his line again. See, that's what following the shepherd is about. He is our guide, leading us to the peace, leading us to righteousness, leading us to good things. He is there to protect us as our comforter, to give us correction, and yes, at times, redirection. And all of these times, correction, redirection, protection when things get scary can be tough and can be scary. But if we follow the shepherd and are patient, which is hard, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time with patience, we follow Him and He leads us. So that rod and that staff, David says, they comfort me because I know whatever mischief I get in or whatever misdirection I'm in, if I yield to you, God, you're going to get it right. You're going to make it right again. Put me where I need to be and help me to go the direction I need to go. So He is our comforter. He is our guide. But not only that, as the shepherd, He is our provider. He is our provider. Let's read on. Verse 5, I love this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. In a real sense in life, He is our generous host. The word picture here is somebody coming into a nobleman's home and the nobleman providing the weary traveler with a bountiful table full of all the good things. Sort of like a host would provide for guests. We are God's guests. Through Christ, we now become part of the household of God. We become part of God's family. And God is a loving father and provides for his children. And it says, he sets a table before me, and I love this, in the presence of my enemies. Now, let me tell you, as a believer, you have enemies. The world system, the flesh, and the devil. As the Bible says in the New Testament over and over, these are our enemies. Your brothers and sisters in Christ aren't your enemies. Even the lost in the world, the atheists, the other religious people, they're not your enemies. The world system that pushes away from God is your enemy. Your flesh can be your enemy because it wants to lead you in a way that you don't need to go. And of course, the devil is our enemy because he wants to destroy you, your family, and everything that has to do with God. But as you follow the shepherd, and listen, these people are after you, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, these are spiritual forces. But through the good shepherd, he lays a table out for us. Just like a host would do with a guest. He is our generous host. And he takes care of us. And we, through Christ, are his welcome guests. Had a friend I met in the grocery store not too long ago. Oh, we were talking, and he's just a nice guy. And I remember he said, Mike, you and Susan just drop by anytime. Just drop by the house. Just, you don't need to call first. You don't need to knock on the, you don't need to send a note or just come on by. And then two or three days later, Susan and I were driving by his house. And she said, I said, you want to go in? She said, no. I said, but he said, come in anytime. He said, but his wife didn't. My wife is smarter than I am. But you know, I honestly believe even if we did that, we'd be welcome. And that's what God says, come anytime. I love it in Hebrews where it says that we can go before the throne of God boldly, confidently, and find grace and help in the time of need. You and I are welcome in God's presence. And not only does he just have an ear, but he provides bounty if we see it. Problem is, we are so enamored with the world's version of bounty and riches and benefit that we forget, I know I do, we forget to see God's. We forget to see God's. He is our provider. I can tell you this, in the time I've been alive and have known Christ, even though I get nervous, I'm a worrier, I'm a fretter. I struggle with worrying about money, worrying about all kinds of things. And I have to be reminded over and over and over again that he is our generous host and we are his welcome guests. And I have to rewind my mind and remember he's never let me suffer loss. He's always taken care of Susan and my family and myself. And here's the thing, West Concord. Here we are nearing 120 years old and we're still vital and strong. Even though this church has gone through 2 world wars, a depression, COVID, yet here we are because he is our provider. He is our generous host, and we are his welcome guests. Can you describe that in your life coming from God? Let's continue on. It goes on to say in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So here's the thing. He is our guide, he is our comforter, he is our provider. So the psalmist basically said because of that, he should be our satisfaction. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If that's true, and God is our all, and we make God our satisfaction, then goodness and mercy, no matter what we're going through, even if we're going through difficulty, God will get us through it one way or the other. And we learned this morning in Sunday school that God is in charge. Whether we like it or not, whether we submit to it or not, God has dominion. If you were in Sunday school and looked at Daniel chapter 7 this morning, You saw the prophecies of the Gentile nations that would rise up, the empires that would rise up and just give Israel a fit. Not just Israel, but the rest of the world around there. One after another. And we're still living in that kind of world. We're still there. But in the midst of it, we can find satisfaction through God's goodness and God's mercy. God's goodness speaks of His grace. We don't deserve goodness. Why, Pastor? Because technically we're not all that good. We all have sinned and come short of God's glory. But God, because He loves us, no, we don't deserve that love. That's called grace. God has been good. You know what the ultimate good He's done? We just celebrated Him taking on flesh, coming among us, being born as a child, living among us, and then dying for us on a cross. That's good. Dying for us on a cross. People that don't love Him and that don't deserve it, He died. That's grace. He was buried and rose again and provides salvation to all who would place their full faith and trust in Him. We deserve hell, but He's provided heaven. That's mercy. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And then look what He says. That's our satisfaction. If you want, you know, our problem is we're looking to the world to provide our satisfaction. If I get this job, if I get this person, if I become this, if I do that, go here, be. We're looking for everything in the world to provide our satisfaction, except God, who has already promised to be our satisfaction when we yield to Him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is our guide. He is our comforter. He is our provider. He is our satisfaction. And notice as He finished this, what He says. Yes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I love this last line because there's so much confidence in it. And He said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is our Redeemer. He has bought us out of the slave market of sin. Not only has He freed us from the slavery of sin, but He set us on a higher plane. We have become His children as believers. The Bible tells us that one day through faith in Him, not only will we be saved and go to heaven, but we will rule and reign with Him as Christ comes to rule and reign. So not only has He set us free, but He's put a robe on our back and a crown on our heads. And none of this had anything to do with how good we were, how bright we are, how industrious we are, how religious we are. Nothing. He did it because He loved us and still does. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's redeemed me. He's redeemed you. And it not just speaks of eternity. Notice it says, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He's redeemed our time here. As a matter of fact, you go back and read this psalm on your own, it seems to be an entire iteration of human existence and life. He provides for us as we live. He gives to us as we grow. And even though we come through the shadow of death, even in death, we don't need to be afraid because through faith in Him, we have peace. And then one day in His kingdom, He'll set a table. We'll be actual guests and actual residents. He'll set a table in heaven and welcome us home. Psalm 23 speaks of the whole living experience, birth, life, and death, and eternity for the believer. And the reality is, with all these good things, why wouldn't we yield to Him as our shepherd? So He redeems our days if we let Him. He buys us out of the monotony and the nonsense of the world. He's bought us out of the confusion and the conundrums of this present age. We don't have to chase the world. We don't have to be strung up in all sorts of stress and difficulty if we would just live for Him and let Him rather guide us. In other words, if we lived as though God really was my shepherd, your shepherd, He is our Redeemer, not just of our days, but of our destiny. Do you know Jesus as Savior? Have you trusted in Him? God has paid for eternity for you and I through his own death, His death of His Son, as He clothed Himself with flesh. He has bought and paid for your eternal home through the blood and broken body of His Son. No matter what goes on here, good or bad, one day we will stand and rejoice and celebrate with Him in heaven. Did you remember, those of you who were in Sunday school this morning, the last few verses in chapter 7 we looked at concerning the Ancient of Days, God the Father, on His majestic throne, surrounded with power and emanating glory, and the Son of Man, the Messiah, Jesus, the second member of the Trinity, the Son of God, with thousands upon thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s, shouting, singing, and praising. That's what's coming. Our praise team does an amazing job. Wait till they get up in heaven and join the rest of them. Man, we're going to have a time, aren't we, Mike Brooks? Yes, we are. He is our Redeemer. So this is the question for 2026. If God, in fact, grants us a 2026, my brother and sister, I ask this of me as much as I'm asking this of you. Is God our shepherd? And I'm just talking about, don't just think about the year as a whole, because again, all you have technically and all I have is right now. We're not even promised of this afternoon, much less an entire year, for heaven's sake. That's why this must be an attitude of the mind more than a decision. It must be a daily, the Lord is my shepherd. I would encourage you to wake up and pray, the Lord, You're my shepherd today. Lead me. Be my guide. Be my comforter. Be my provider. Lord, be my satisfaction, because You are my Redeemer. That should be how we face not just a new year, but a new moment, a new day. A new day. Story is told by an Australian shepherd to a reporter. They were asking and doing a kind of a documentary on shepherding and sheep. And this reporter was talking to this Australian shepherd, and they, you know, Australia is a very craggy country in some places, very, very rough. And shepherding can be hard. And sheep are rather impulsive. By the way, you know, being called a sheep, sheep smell and aren't too bright. So just, you know, if we wear that honorably, then we can then maybe surrender to Christ. But the shepherd said, sometimes these sheep get impulsive, and when they look down into a valley or something and they see green grass, they'll bolt towards it. They'll run for it. Kind of like we do when we go past a buffet. They run for it. And sometimes they'll fall in and they'll be stuck, but they're munching away. And the reporter said, what do you do when that happens? They can't get out on their own. The shepherd has to go down there. He said, do you run down there and get them? He said, no. He says, I leave them down there. I leave them down there till they get done eating. He said, what if they're injured? Then they're hurting. I leave them down there until they've eaten their full. Because if I go down there right away to get them, they'll just jump back in there again. That's kind of how we are. You say, why doesn't God stop this habit I have? Why doesn't God take me out of this situation? Well, the reality is, it's because if He does, we'll just jump back into it again. Sometimes God has to let us fall until we're ready. The shepherd said, once that sheep stops eating and gets bloated or gets hurt, then I go down and get it and bring it up and restore it to the pack, restore it to the herd. So here's the lesson from that as we finish this morning. If you are a wanderer, he said, talking to the reporter, he said, if you are a wanderer, I tell you that the good shepherd will bring you back the moment you have given up trying to save yourself and are willing to let him save you his own way. That's true of salvation as well as we go by day. We try to fix our own problems. We try to solve our own issues.
And sometimes when we just can't think of what to do, we just need to wait until God pulls us out. But I have found in my own stupidity and slovenness, when I've run out of ideas and I'm struggling, that God pulls me out. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I hadn't intended to read this quote before, but I found it and I put it on social media. That is from C.S. Lewis. You say, well, God is so big and I'm so small. And in Daniel, we saw God in his dominion over billions of people and hundreds of nations. But I love what C.S. Lewis once said. He said, God has infinite attention for each one of us. He doesn't have to take us in line. You're as much alone with him as if you were the only thing he'd ever created. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And yes, I'm one of millions, but because God is infinite, unbounded, and all-powerful, and all-loving, when I need him, he's attentive, as though I were the only person he had ever created. So on behalf of my family, our wonderful church staff and deacons and leaders, I want to wish you all a happy, if God grants it, a happy new year. And we do that and get a happy new year by following the shepherd through this new year. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Taking just a quiet moment to consider, to reflect on what God has shown us in his word. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted him once and for all? Just like the shepherd laying down full of herself, the sheep rather. There's nothing you can do to get out of your situation. We're lost. No amount of religion, no amount of morality, no amount of promises will save us. We cannot save ourselves. That's why Christ, the shepherd, laid down his life. He died to pay your sin debt, to pay mine. Yeah, they buried him, but 3 days later he rose again to prove he had victory over life and death and the authority to hand life to whoever receives him by faith. If you don't know Jesus, trust him this morning. Because he's your redeemer. He's redeemed your destiny if you'll trust him. Would you do that this morning? Place your full confidence in Jesus as your Savior. Once you do it, you never have to do it again. He saves you this moment right now. And if you're here and you know Christ as Savior, you can spend time making resolutions. You know, whatever you need to do, just go do it. But the most important thing you and I need to do, and it's not just for New Year's Day, it's for every day, every hour, every minute, is to surrender to Christ as our good shepherd. Not only as our Savior, but as our good shepherd. John 10 tells us of the fact that he is our shepherd, and sheep hear his voice. So your prayer and my prayer needs to be not just today, but every day. The Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, I shall not want. And let him walk with you and before you throughout your life. Lead you and guide you through tough decisions, tough situations, until one day you're in heaven with him at the banquet table of eternity. Don't rob yourself of the joy that can come from surrendering to him now and every day. Father, we thank you, Lord, for loving us, coming into this earth in flesh that we just celebrated. But Father, you lived a life among us. You know the toughness, the heartache, the difficulties, the betrayal, the sadness, the sorrow that we endure. I believe when you walked this earth, your belly was hungry. Your joints hurt after a hard day of work. Your heart was broken when those you loved betrayed you. When you walked this earth, you went without. Your expectations of people around you were not met. Father, you endured just what we endure. You wept. But you endured it for us, not only to save us, but to shepherd us. Father, if indeed you grant us a new year, help me in my life, Lord, to let you be my shepherd. When I stray, get the crook out and pull me back. When I'm wayward, Lord, your rod will come. Lord, I pray that I can be responsive. And Father, I pray that I won't give you grief. Help me. I want you to be my shepherd today and in the days that you give me ahead. Father, I pray for this wonderful congregation that you would bless it. I pray that everyone here, online, and the sound of my voice knows Christ as Savior. And if they don't, they would stop right now, abandon their own efforts to save themselves, abandon religion, and cast their faith and trust in Jesus as their Savior. And I pray for those who are here and listening this morning and watching online, that every breath we pray will somehow include, Lord, you are my shepherd. And because of that, I shall not want. Bless us today now, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
For additional sermon resources and to find out who we are, visit us online at westconcordchurch.com. Thanks for listening.